Testament reading for Utica is written in Genesis chapter 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here am I." He said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them, and Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them, together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." He said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." But Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in Hebrews chapter 9. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. The Jews answered him, Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and as did the prophets, yet you say, If anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, He is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for you is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Jesus said, Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. And later he says, Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Let's try the text. Christ delivers words that most would consider to be his harshest. But because he is God, and everything that proceeds from his mouth is truth, they are true words that he speaks, nonetheless. As the saying goes, the truth can be hard to hear sometimes, and not everyone can handle the truth, especially God's truth. Man at his origin, and regarding his origin, knew only one thing, God. The knowledge of good and evil was then pursued by man. And from then on, man was no longer at one with this origin. What this indicates is that since the fall of man, human beings are no longer naturally devoted to God. There is a disunion with God. Devotion has shifted instead to the self and to the preoccupation with the distinction between good and evil, as if it were yours to explore. And you even have the capability of handling the things that are of God. The truth is, as theologians in the past have put it, the truth is that you are conscientious Pharisees in relation to God. And were it not for the victory of Christ crucified and risen over man's sinful nature, all would be condemned, as everyone is. It is in every meeting of Jesus with the Pharisees that the old and the new are clearly contrasted.
correct understanding of this meeting of the old and the new is of the utmost importance for understanding the gospel as a whole. The Pharisee is the man to whom the only knowledge, the man to whom only the knowledge of good and evil has come to be of the utmost importance in his life. In other words, he is simply a man of disunion with God. For the Pharisee, every moment of life becomes a situation of conflict in which he has to choose between good and evil, as if he knew it and could do it. One can understand from this how all of mankind, being born Pharisees, out of touch with God, that all would mistakenly focus on the subject of being moral. Even among those who have been brought to faith, there is always the old natural inclination to slip back into the preoccupation with morality and the law as the key to life. And although not insincere, it is a grave mistake to believe that the law can enable you, as simple human beings, to handle the distinction between good and evil. God invades your existence to make himself known. He actually pursues you, just like he did Adam and Eve just after their fall in the garden. And the reaction of sinful old nature, the natural flesh's reaction is, hide from him, get rid of him. Pick up stones if you have to. Don't listen to what he determines to be truth. Avoid his truth as much as possible, especially his truth examining and revealing you. Determine instead your own truth. Why do you think the Pharisees were so mad that they would pick up stones to kill Jesus? All he said was, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And yet, in those few words, what Jesus was saying was, I am God. What the Jews were revealing was what all sinful flesh does with such news of God confronting the natural state of man. Fallen flesh seeks to cast God out of the picture for the sole reason that man desires to become God. Man doesn't just desire the knowledge of good and evil. Sinful man wants to determine good and evil. Heresy always seeks supremacy. Man wants his will done. Who enjoys getting a speeding ticket? But after you leave the scene of getting a ticket, what floods through the sinful flesh's mind is how you just want to drive the way you want to drive. Speed limits are for those others who need such guidance. Oh, and what of taxes? Most don't like paying taxes, but you can't just not pay. Take a look at what God's Word says in Romans chapter 13 about honoring the governing authorities placed over you by God. The old Adam, the old nature, will want to convict God of wrongdoing. Instead, God's truth being the determiner. Kind of like the Pharisees convicting Jesus of being wrong, of being false, of having a demon when he is the truth. This news that Jesus delivers, that he is God come in the flesh, that he is the truth and is bringing the truth of God into the world, it may very well drive the old Adam, the old nature of everyone's flesh, to be enraged because of the fall. But it is good news. It is good news to rejoice over, to new ears, to new eyes, to the new man whom God creates in you as he recreates you by his bringing you to repentance and belief by the power of his word. What this gospel text, which every man's old nature would never consider good news, what it brings to your ears is the news of your blessedness. For Christ Jesus says that whoever hears his word is of God. And that doesn't mean just doing church, as if to say, well, I sat there and heard some blah, blah, blah from God's word through the liturgy, from the lectern, from the pulpit, through the words of institution, and through some community. So I guess I did church. I heard stuff. I fulfilled what I was supposed to do, so I assume I'm of God. By the grace of God, be repenting and believing. Jesus said, whoever is of God hears the words of God. Truly hearing means that the new ears, new eyes, the new man whom God created in you through the gift of faith agrees with God's word of truth, which calls your old nature what it is, the simple way of death. Truly hearing the word of God kills the old nature, as the new man does not call God a liar, but agrees and confesses that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to the Father. Truly hearing God's word brings your new nature to agree or confess God's truth about your old nature, so that immediately following this very preaching by God, his truth brings the new man to sing or confess the offertory. For within those words are confessed God's truth that the old nature must drown and die, and a new nature be sustained by the power of God's gospel. As Luther says about the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, the same goes for the offertory. You are brought to confess against yourself. For if God created faith in full reliance upon God's grace through the merits of Christ Jesus as the only freedom from the bondage of your old natural will. The comforting gospel within this text has Christ honoring his Father, because the Father speaks his truth through his Son. As is later said in God's Holy Scripture through the 12th chapter of St. John. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God, and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. For I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." To keep Christ's word is to continue to truly hear it. And from that true hearing, God brings forth a confession of faith, a confession of his word as true. He opens your lips, and it's a true confession against your sinful flesh, and a confession of full reliance upon Christ crucified and risen alone for salvation. That is God-created repentance and belief, and that is being of God. Rejoice, O Christians. Fear not the judgment of God, for he has vindicated you through the merits of Christ crucified for you for the forgiveness of your sins. God has supplied the ram in the thicket to take your place. God has made satisfaction for your sins, not by means of blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ? Not only will God bring you to rightly confess his truth to the offertory, but through the rest of his divine service of word and sacrament, he brings you to confess Christ over your fallen flesh. You are also blessed through proper humility, as you will confess through Hymn 435. "Come in sorrow and contrition, wounded, impotent, and blind. Hear the guilty, free remission. Hear trouble, peace of mind. Health this fountain will restore. They that drink will thirst no more. They that drink shall live forever. 'Tis a soul-renewing flood. God is faithful. God will never break his covenant of blood. Sign when our Redeemer died, sealed when he was glorified." Almighty God brings you to truly hear and receive his truth, and by God created faith alone, he brings you to rightly confess your only source of rescue, Christ crucified for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Rejoice indeed, for by his doing,